güzel. Did you practice this truth this past week? What if this is really true? I get blinded by life, the stresses of life. I lose track of it. But I came across a line through the prophet Isaiah this week. The word of the Lord. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering and hardship. God works in all things to the good. Gospel reading for this morning from Mark includes this, that one line without any detail of Jesus led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, we read these words, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus learned obedience. Are you learning obedience? Don't ask for it, folks. God's curriculum is the hardship of life. Appreciated Bob's prayer. Grumbled that the snow came back. Had to give thanks. I had strength to shovel it. What if this tight time through children's school is an opportunity of God saying, New Cumberland Church of Nazarene, I've got something new for you. What if? I'm not trying to sit here with this prophetic, you know, God caused all this so it could. I'm not going to go there. Here's the confidence I do have. God works in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Last week we started looking at this phrase, and I have a feeling that's going to become a text, set of verses for a few weeks. Seems like I just keep getting bogged down. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every rule and authority. You don't get blessed because you tithe. God has blessed us, and out of that we tithe. You don't get blessed because you have life all put together. You let God work with you. He has made you whole, and he makes you a blessing to the world. Last week I identified some claims that come out of this union with Christ identified in second chapter of Colossians. We are complete through our union with Christ. We don't get more complete as we get better and better and better and better and holier and holier and holier. God sanctifies us, and in that completed work of God, he shapes us as servants and followers of Jesus. Christ has cut away our sinful nature. We were buried with Christ when we were baptized. We were raised to new life in Christ. As I saw last week, we got to quit whining. I just got this sinful nature. You have to understand, stop it. It's not scripture. That's whining. That's crying. That's self-pity. That's not faith in Christ who has cut away that mind. Scripture. God made us alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. God disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Satan has been defeated. Satan has been disarmed. Oh, he's still alive. He has not been destroyed. He's alive. Then in verse 20, we have died with Christ, and he has set us free from the spiritual powers of this world. Can you hear that one? We have died with Christ. We have raised to new life, and God has set us free from the spiritual powers of this world. Okay, we still have to deal with them. If I really understand Scripture, when we understand what God has done and is doing through us, the world needs to be afraid of us. That's why our world is afraid of God's church and fights it tooth and toenail. Don't whine. Don't cry. Don't get upset because we don't think the government's being fair. Take heart. Take joy. Sit up a little straighter. Be a little stronger. God said it was going to happen. Now take confidence and be who God called us to be. Get your big boy pants on. Shape up. Quit whining. And let's take God at his word. This isn't just in this plot. Letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. The apostle says, God has freed us from slavery to sin and self so that we might authentically love one another. Having trouble love people? Don't work harder. Don't beat yourself up. Lean in to the grace of God and let him transform you. You've been set free. Letter to the Ephesians. God saves us from sin so that we might do the works he designed us to do. We get so focused on verses 8 and 9. Salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't. And we stop. There's only one problem. The Apostle Paul didn't. Why does God do that? So that we can do. We don't do good works to get saved. God saves us so that we'll do good works. Let's look at the whole of Scripture. Let's quit these little lines, one-liners. Let's put it all together. This same message is really pronounced and proclaimed in the letter to the Romans, chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says in that chapter, our old self died. I hear a lot of people, die to the old man, we got to kill the old man. No. In baptism, our old lives were put to death and we were raised new persons in Christ Jesus. Wow. So in light of these promises, what distracts us from faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and defeats us? Little hint. ignorance. I didn't say low IQ. I didn't say stupidity. It's ignorance of what God really has for us. Is Christianity simply one of many religions attempting to find God and live moral lives in the world? Or is there something unique about Christianity that enables us to live the life Jesus taught? What makes the way of Jesus different from other religions that also advocate peace and moral living? There are a lot of religions out there that proclaim and teach peace and moral living. But in them, you have to strive to find this. You come to the end of yourself so that you're at peace with the universe. That's called nirvana. And you're never quite sure if you got there. In Hinduism, if you're in a certain caste, you get to come back again and try it again, hopefully at a little higher caste. Don't laugh at it, friends. Because we as Christians need to find out that God has already given us access to heaven through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And through that, he is leading us into wholeness of living. Why aren't Christians more victorious then and radiant in our world? Why are we whining? Why does struggle characterize so many Christians and dominate our conversations? I got to be real careful at this one because I get in trouble. I struggle with a lot of liturgical services, and I'm so bad, I've been bad this week, oh God, we're so terrible, and on in these written prayers. But where do we take time to say what the sin is so that we confess it and deal with it? And we whine about how bad we are and how terrible we've been, and we haven't been perfect. And there's a lot of reality in that. But struggle characterizes much of Christianity. Why do we spend so much time excusing, talk about how bad we are? Part of it's being humble. Didn't do so well this week. Why are we afraid to take Jesus at his word and obey his word completely? Why? The apostle says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Why? Because in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, and you are made complete through your union with Christ. So, I'm not going to get very far at these notes. So let me jump. Sandra, take me up to slide number 21, would you please? I just got it. This is from 8th chapter of the letter to the Romans. I dare you. Double dare you. Double dog dare you. Think about this passage this week. If God is for us, anybody question whether that one is true? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. Well, they can try. Christ Jesus died for us and raised us to life. He is sitting at the right place, sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither fears for today, nor worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God as revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that many of you are dealing with some pretty deep issues and struggles, family, health, finance. I don't want to make light of those or dilute those anyway. They're tough. Many of you are here today with heavy burdens. I don't mean to diminish those in any way. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Realize what God has done and is doing through you to deal with what you are dealing with life in life. When Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every authority. I'm a couple minutes over, but you just got to see this video clip in closing. Got it there, Sander? Take it away. I love it.